this week on the Saturday Special. Some interesting facts. For instance,
no available estimates for the cost of caring for the uninsured, many of whom are illegal immigrants. Many illegal immigrants don't earn enough for insurance. Who should foot the bill? Is the Ag Job bill the answer? The so-called Minutemen Project allegedly held an immigrant against his will for a photograph. Is that okay? Thinking of popping into Tijuana for the day? Don't forget your passport, because that's pending legislation. These questions and many more are the subject of the Saturday Special this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon with your host MZ and the California Coalition for Immigration Reform. That's this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon on your
May I Please See Your ID?
Radio. Local News Talk Radio for the Monterey Bay. KSCO Santa Cruz. Freedom, Boulder Creek.
Z,
call
we're
Godnet
here
at 460-2000. Yeah. Food,
hello.
Shelter, clothing.
Hello, how you doing?
Okay.
I think we're back on the air here, folks. We had a little bit of technical difficulties. Michael Olson
I think
here.
This one sets the record, right, O? what is it, 21 minutes?
Yeah, but we made it back. We're here.
I wonder how, if I was listening, I would have just been listening, and I would have been calling all my friends
and
saying, hey, tune into this 1080 station. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyhow, we are doing a program. Quiet, Ma. My mother's giving me a big hard time.
Put Mom on the air, too. Let's all get on the air.
Here. Since you want to take, here.
There you go, Mom.
You're on the air. You're on 10,000. Go ahead.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Kay. Welcome to the Saturday Special, which is very special indeed today.
Very.
So the program today, I guess, was going to be about immigration.
Immigration, and
correct?
We can still talk about it.
Absolutely. Let's go right ahead and talk about it.
Okay. Well, I have a few things I'd like to say.
Let's start with you, then.
Unless you want to start, Michael. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was just having this conversation. I guess we all have this conversation about immigration anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we're all talking about because it's obviously having such a profound impact on our culture.
On our country.
On our country. And so the question becomes, what do we do about it? And I had a program last evening with, it was called Leap to Faith, and I was talking with a couple of pastors, and they were talking about the same issue. How is it that we treat farm workers? And they were talking about Salinas and how Salinas every year puts up a big sign that says, welcome farm workers, we are happy to have you here to do the work in of our fields. And so that to me is an incredible sign of welcoming. And it used to be that we had this very formal relationship with Mexico called the Bracero program,
where
we would invite people in and offer them jobs, and they would have official they would be officially welcomed with a form, and they would have a license to work here.
Yes, but Michael, that was when the borders were controlled.
Yes, well, my comment to these people was, well, what was wrong with that program? And they said, well, farmers were abusing it at the time. And I said, well, do you think farmers could get away with abusing farm workers that way anymore? And they said, well, probably not.
No, because the door is open, the behind door was open, and it's just a different ball game now. And I would like, if I may, I want to respond to someone who called about the Saturday special. Naturally, it was our friend Ben from Salinas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very, very angry that we're talking about having immigration and not leaving the borders open. But he was only focusing on being concerned about the Mexican-Americans who want to come in. Of course they want to come into our country because their lives are not good. But what has happened is that it has become very badly abused, but not only by the Mexican-Americans because let's say, for example, a Mexican woman who is expecting a baby comes to in our country, goes to San Diego, has her baby in the hospital, and because of our laws, the baby is an American citizen, so the baby can bring his whole family to the United States, and they all become citizens. And, you know, that's the kind of abuse that isn't really good and can be fixed if our politicians would be willing to fix it.
Well, what is the fix?
But then, the thing that you were arguing about has nothing to do with the way our world and our country is right now. We're concerned about terrorism. That's number one. And because the borders are wide open, the terrorists are allowed to come in. And we don't know what's going on. And we don't have any control.
How do we get control, Kay?
Oh, well, I think we get control by demanding that our politicians, whose main interest is in remaining in their jobs,
mm-hmm.
so that they can be reelected, they should, and that's from the president way down, whether it was Clinton or Bush, or why can't they just say, We've got to do things the way we did 50 and 60 years ago. I remember when
I would not that be suicidal, though, on their part, if they were to say we are no longer going to allow any Mexicans to come in?
Oh, no, we are supposed to allow people in, but everything should be more accountable. The borders are totally open now. The Bracero program was good. Why can't we have the Bracero program again? But that's not the issue, Michael. It's just like our borders are a sieve. They're coming in, and anybody can come in, and not only do they come in, they can automatically go on welfare, and the rest of us have to pay for them. And it's too much. We can't do that.
Well,
so
should we
have to have rules.
Should we see what the audience thinks about this issue?
Absolutely.
Folks, you're tuned into the Saturday special with Kay Zwirling and Michael Olson sitting in, and Michael Zwirling is in the background, and he'll come back as soon as he wants to.
As soon as he wants to.
And you can jump in today, too. This is what live local radio is all about. It's kind of like eating a fresh hot pizza, you know. It's hot and it's gooey and it gets all over you, but it sure is fun. So right now we're going to go to Scott in SoCal. Scott, welcome to the Saturday special.
Thank you very much. I didn't realize that was Kay Zwirling, so I wanted to...
That's the world famous Kay Zwirling.
I wanted to wish
Not
her
just any Kay Zwirling.
Exactly, the... I wanted to wish her a belated happy birthday. I happened to hear her son earlier this morning, and he said that she had just turned... She doesn't sound her age, but I know it was up there, and I congratulate and commend you on that. It says a lot for your well-being.
Well, thank you
so
very much.
So good people live long, and you sound great, so that's it all.
Thank you for saying that.
But to get back on the lines of, you know, you guys were talking about the welcoming farmers, I think another issue, too, that we have going on, and I don't know when this all came about, and I grew up back east, so this hasn't really been an issue for me, but I have lived here over 10 years now. And the one thing that amazes me, now, you know, all due respect to all races, but we're talking mainly now with the Mexican border, and I can understand them wanting to defend their, you know, it's their country, you know, it's their mm-hmm. homeland, and they're going to want to defend it. Now, if we look back, we're all immigrants from somewhere at some point in time.
Absolutely.
So I can definitely appreciate that, and it's not to be an insensitive, but I think they take it the wrong way to where they take it personally, and you just can't do that. This is basically, at this point in time, we have to look at it as a tough love issue. You know, we understand that we want to have everybody be happy and we want everybody to live a good life and all that, but under these circumstances now, one of the things that I don't understand in going with our government and politics is encouraging them by having everything we have in our writings of political and welfare and things of that nature all in Spanish, which is another form of encouraging. We're putting our tax money to double what we already have to put out there as far as communications with who's running for what and who's taking sides for what. And that is a tremendous impact, too. That is another form of encouraging. And, you know, I mean, I understand that people need to understand what they're voting for. I don't want to discount that part. But I think one of our stipulations for being in our country is to learn our language, because the money is incredibly, no one, I don't think, realizes the tax impact that it has. Yeah, I'm upstairs. The tax impact that it has on all of us that has to pay. I mean, I don't even like receiving the political papers. You know, it's such a waste of paper and trees and
absolutely
our resources.
Absolutely right.
You know,
you're
and most of those
right.
things go in the mail and then they go right back in the trash. And granted, you know, we do recycling and all that. But learn our language. Prove to us that you really want to be in our country and not just trying to get a free ride off all other hardworking American citizens, you know. And that's something that really should be on a top list. Is what we don't need to encourage things right now. It's a tough love issue. It's not to be insensitive to any race, creed, nationality, whatever.
Scott, have you ever heard of Garrett Hardin?
No, I haven't.
He came out with a piece called Lifeboat Ethics. Kay, have you ever heard of it?
No.
The notion of lifeboat ethics. Well, Scott's talking about tough love, and I guess Garrett Hardin really came out with a case of tough love with respect to the notion of how much you can help. And his notion was that our country is kind of like a lifeboat to the world, and the world is sinking. And we're paddling around in this lifeboat, and there are all kinds of people in the sea that are calling out for help. And so we start bringing them into our lifeboat. And we keep bringing them into our lifeboat, and we keep bringing them into our lifeboat. And then at what point?
Our lifeboat is thinking.
Yes, at what point do you stop bringing them into your lifeboat? And if you don't stop taking them into your lifeboat, well, of course, you're going to sink.
But Michael,
that would be Garrett Hardin, Lifeboat Ethics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you see, Michael, our country has taken immigrants in for as far back as we could, because we're a
all
country
immigrants,
of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
But when they came in the 1910s and 20s and early 30s, and I was a child in the 30s, and my parents had the opportunity to come in from Greece and from Turkey, but they weren't put on welfare.
Everybody and they learned the language. And they learned the language.
They were so proud to learn English.
Exactly.
Now
exactly.
We're making it. It's been terrible in the last 30 years because certain political people decided it's very smart for us to pander to people so that they'll get to like us, and if they like us, then they'll keep voting for us.
Well, yes, and then
and
we get right back to the vote.
So how do we do that? We give them things for nothing.
Exactly.
And expect nothing in return.
Right, and it's gotten out of control.
And we let them become citizens, and then we say, oh, but they speak a different language, and it's too hard for them to learn our language. Baloney.
Right, exactly.
They could learn it
exactly.
if we gave them the opportunity to. And when this English for a Second Language came out, that was a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, people became dependent.
And offended. A lot became offended by that, too.
A lot of even now, the Mexican parents want their children to learn English.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me play a little devil's advocate here. There's a movie out that I have not seen called Life Without Mexicans. I have to see it.
That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Well, that doesn't help
that
the problem.
Well,
that's just going to create more resentment.
Well, yeah. Okay,
the thing,
but the notion
one thing
is...
that I have to interject here is no one likes to be around people who whisper, right? It's kind of rude. To me, if I don't know what someone's saying, they may as well be whispering. And I'm offended by that because are they talking about me? Or are they conspiring something against me? Mm-hmm. Whether it's Mexican, Iranian, whatever the language is, you know, it's offensive. Now, I'm a Desert Storm veteran, and when I went to Germany, I learned German. I mean, I may not be able to speak completely fluently, and when I found out that I got over there, you know, that most of them speak English. I mean, the English is a second language for most advanced countries.
Mm-hmm. They choose to.
And, yeah, and I'm offended by that. I really am. That's not helping us. If they really care about, you know, having a piece of the American pie, well, say it the way it is. You know, I just take offense to that. And, you know, again, it's nothing personally against a race. I'm not making this a racial issue. I love everybody for who they are. There's good and bad in every race and religion and creed. You know, there's good and bad everywhere in all types of people. My issue is I want to be able to feel comfortable around everyone, and I don't want to feel that friction there of are they saying something that I may not agree with or like or whatever, you know? I mean, because we're all here to learn from each other. And if we can't communicate openly, like let's say they're saying something in Spanish that, oh, I need an aspirin, I have a headache, and I happen to have some in my pocket, I gladly give them one. That's the point I'm trying to make with
all
that. Yeah,
the reason they're still speaking Spanish is because we made it so easy
exactly.
that they don't have to speak English.
Right. And
everyone
they may not
who
be...
wants to become a citizen should have to speak English.
Right, right.
Well,
that's
Scott,
how it was.
That's my issue.
Yeah, Scott, let
I
me ask you.
I wanted to tell you, fellas, what I do remember as a child, that my parents wanted to bring relatives in from the foreign country where they were, everyone was poor.
Right.
And the only way that was possible is if my father said that he would subsidize anybody who comes into the country to the best of his ability, I mean a relative. And so that a relative would come in, and if he couldn't find a job, then it was my father's responsibility to try to help him get a job. And now, we don't have anything like that.
Right.
People come in and they say right off the bat, some people who don't even want to work, well, look, I can't do anything, and so you better put me on welfare. Mm-hmm. Everybody can go on welfare.
Right. Exactly.
So how do
wrong.
We manage? How do
that,
we
that robs people of their self-respect.
Kay, how do we manage our need for these people's How do we? I mean, we're not doing the work that they do. That's
know,
the argument.
You're talking
so
about the ones that have to bend down.
Yeah.
And
so and the ones who wash our
well,
dishes
you know
and
I would do that. And I imagine there are a lot more that would do that. I don't think that there is that big of a. I mean, there's enough unemployment. I think there's enough people, regardless of what their race is, that would do that work.
What if
not,
there isn't?
I don't. I mean, because that's putting the Mexican race as they're willing to do the lower menial jobs, and that doesn't mean that anybody of any race would do that or would not do that.
Well, you know, with
so I don't want to put it down as if that's all they are good for is to
no,
pull
that's
vegetables.
No, that's not the reason.
You know, and it's not. There's other political reasons for it that maybe we don't know that our higher-ups aren't telling us, you know, and it has to be money. You know, it's all about money.
So what's the solution?
How do we
invite these people into our country and yet still somehow manage?
We need to set a higher standard. You must know the language before you come in. You must be able to speak the language before you come in. Speak, read, and understand the language. That should be number one, because it's creating a lot of resentment between people, and we don't want that. We don't need that. And
that's
it's nothing
right.
to do with saying that, you know, we don't, you know, because I mean, this is the melting pot. We all have come from different places. It has nothing to do with, you know, and then no one should be going saying, well, this was our land back then. Well, that's then. This is now. You know, let's get up to date here. You know, because I know that's been brought up, too, by different people. It's like, well, this was our land back at that time, and, you know, this was always our. That war is over. That, you know, that's irrelevant. You know, slavery's over with. Things are the way they
well,
are here now. This is the here and now, and we need
let me pitch another question to you. Then it seems like Mexico, the easiest way for Mexico to deal with its problem of poor people, is to send them north. So, How is Mexico going to deal with its problem?
They should send them north, but they have to do it in a legal way, like a
every
lot
other
of
Mexican
Americans. They're very resentful that they had to wait 3 years or so to come into the country, and now the ones that have come in illegally now we are saying, well, they've been here for a long time, and what do they? What's the word that you use to say that they can stay now because they've been here? That's wrong, because that undermines our laws,
sure.
And the ones that had to do it legally are being penalized.
Nevertheless,
we can't also forget the fact that there are people in those positions that make those decisions that are also of that race.
Gentlemen, we're spending too much time. Michael, you seem to be very concerned about the Mexican-American workers.
Well, I am.
You're naturally concerned. But what's happening to our borders is much more serious now.
Yes, it is.
They're coming in from Canada. They're coming in from Mexico. And Iranians
can.
And
it's
and
the
people
lifeboat.
who want to hurt our country.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's
and we're
the
letting
issue
them
now.
In easily.
Exactly.
And why are we doing that? It's political.
Exactly.
Because our politicians haven't got the gumption.
Intestinal fortitude to
okay,
say that
okay, but
say no, because they want to be they want
politically
to stay
correct.
In office. And I came up with an idea some months ago. And I think it went over like a lead balloon. And that was, why don't we just have our political people have one term only?
Right.
You see, because
exactly.
Once they get in, every move they make is predicated on, is this going to help me? And will I be voted in again?
Does this fit in with my agenda or not?
Is there a precedent for that, Kay?
Yeah.
Huh? Is there a precedent for that notion?
Is there what?
Yeah, a precedent.
There is no precedence. But what's wrong with say, Congress people having a 3-year term?
Or perhaps
a
6-year term, perhaps.
And then just maybe they would just do the best they can for the good of the country, instead of worrying about being reelected.
I wonder if anybody knows of any alternative to that, because it seems to me politicians are not going to vote to protect our borders until they see it in their best interest to do so. And
well, it would be in their best interest if they knew they only had one shot at being a public servant and doing a good job for the country, instead of their priority always being, gee, am I going? You know, I can't do this. Clinton couldn't close the borders. He wanted to be reelected, and Bush is the same.
Same way.
Wouldn't. Oh, now he can, because he knows that he can't be in again for a third term. So, geez, I wish they would get on with it.
Right.
And this
see, they're not affected by it. That's what's sad about it. Is they're in mm-hmm. a position now where they got what they want, and they will continue to get what they've been guaranteed to get. So it's like it's no shirt off their back. Meanwhile, future generations are going to have to deal with the consequences of it, and we can see it happening now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really there's no reason for it.
Sad.
We need to get this tough love issue in there, and this is just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no two ways about it. You know, we've got regular citizens on our borders now that are trying to defend and protect and keep, you know, they've cut it in half because they've took it upon themselves because they're tired of seeing these illegal immigrants crossing basically their backyards to get in, you know.
Yeah,
and that's
once
what we're
they
at
get
now.
In, they go on welfare.
And they
anybody
get kicked out and they come right back in again.
That's bad.
It's a game. They're playing a game that we don't need to keep playing anymore. Is that our extent?
So, Scott, what is the solution? What is your solution?
Well, we need to have some accountability for, like Ms. Swirling was saying, is the politicians need to stop trying to be so politically correct and worried about their party's agenda and say, look, this is where we're at now. This is what we're standing in. It's only getting worse day by day, hour by hour, second by second. As we're speaking, who knows how many have already come in, and we're paying our tax money where it should be going to people who have earned their way or, you know, legitimately or in this country.
Okay.
And the solution is to say, okay, we're not going to be
we're not going to be giving these invitations anymore by accommodating with these translating. That's a start.
There you go.
Just the translating alone of all these government paper political things that are going on at our expense. Again, it's all at our expense.
Well, thank you, Scott. We're going to go
quick. The money we save on just not doing all these translations, DMV and political stuff.
Okay, so use English, right?
Use English, and then that money right there, I guarantee you, is putting that many more troops around our borders and say, look, we've had enough. You can't come in anymore until you do it the right way.
All right. Scott, thank you so much for that call. We're going to go to... We're going to go to Gary, who's on a cell phone. Gary, thank you for tuning in the Saturday special. You've got Kay Zwirling and Michael Olson. Go ahead.
Yeah, terrific. I'm afraid that the term limits aren't particularly going to work. And I subscribe to the California League of Cities and so forth.
Why not?
And the staffers are the ones that are controlling the Congress people. You look at our county here, and those people are entrenched. They're irremovable, and the city council people and the other people can kind of go on their rotations and playing mayor and so forth. The American people need to stop their habit of voting and coming back in. I think what was it, 153 people that ran for their terms this last year were all reelected. And it's a party bossism by both political parties that cut their deals on K Street with the international organizations, the old corporate internet. And it's those groups. The American people have to, start thinking, bite their tongue, or do whatever they need to do, and start making some choices instead of, they need to get out of their habits.
Well, we could, for starters, we could have initiatives that say, from now on, we don't want more than when one, just hypothetically, the idea of having people in office for one term. We could have initiatives, but see, we're having initiatives now, and then it only takes one extreme judge to put a stop to it, like they did with Proposition 187. That's
right. Well,
that
I remember
disallowed.
I remember in California some 20 years ago, Rose Byrd was impeached, and I think a movement like that. We're breaking up.
You're breaking up?
Oh, my phone was breaking.
Oh.
But anyway, it was, 15, 20 years ago that the Rose Byrd impeachment in California was a major, success.
I remember.
And I think that's the area we have to go. And people like our sheriffs, you drive down 41st and you see all these illegals all over. I understand back in New England, there's a couple counties that are, they found something in the federal law that allows them to go ahead and, export these aliens that are picking up the jobs all over for our kids and for the people on the lower ring.
We asked Scott the same question, Gary. Who is going to do the work that those people are doing? Are you going to do it? I mean, are you going to go out there and wash the dishes and cut the lawns and pick the strawberries?
Well, I'm old enough that those were the things that I used to do. You work in the restaurants and wash the dishes. And,
me too,
and
come to think about it. I did them all.
Exactly. If there's enough money in there. And, we got our Molnados and all these other people at, Driscoll. They're paying the politicians the big fees. They're getting the cheap labor over the advantage of American citizens.
There is no such thing as cheap labor.
Excuse me. The way that we want to maybe do it the way you're saying is if we give social welfare to able-bodied people, which we're doing now, we can say you can't have this unless you're willing to do such and such.
No, my point is that everything should cost what it really costs.
Right. The free market should do it. Let's pay double for our strawberries and 25 cents more for our lettuce or whatever it takes, and stop all the manipulating back and forth, because there's a few rich fat farmers around here that are, and some multinational corporations that are getting all the advantages.
And they're the ones that own most of the farms too, the corporations.
That's right. And
But families own those corporations too. But with all due respect, they're just playing the game. I think that they succeed because they have competitive advantages because they can defray the true costs of that labor onto society. I think that that farm labor should be professional labor. I mean, it takes a lot of physical talent to be able to be a good farm worker. And not everybody can do it. And when you talk with farmers, you realize that some of those immigrants are capable of doing it and some are not. It's kind of like basketball players, you know. Some of us can jump high and some of us can't. And there are some of those immigrants or the Indians from Central America who are built in a way that really make them capable of doing this gruesome work, and others are not. They should be valued highly.
Michael, I would like to make a point that I'm sure that all of us will agree on in terms of talking about social welfare and how we're angry about how it's being administered. I think it's very clear that we agree that people who are handicapped or ill or poor should always be helped by the government. But we have to weed out the people that don't want to work and are willing to give up their self-respect and dignity and just be fed by the government.
I think the other really important thing is the fact that, you know, we're being put shackles and tacks because of this so-called war on terrorism that's going to last eternally. We should put a moratorium on the border until this war on terrorism is over.
Gary, thank you so much for the comments. We really appreciate it. Folks, this is the Saturday special. Kay Zwirling and Michael Olson here sitting in for Michael Zwirling today, who will show up later, I'm sure. Let's go right now to Ed in Santa Cruz. Ed, welcome to the Saturday special.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to hear you.
Good to hear who?
Me and Michael, on the subject particularly.
Welcome.
Two comments. California Constitution, Article 3, State of California, Section 6A, Purpose. English is the common language of the people of the United States of America and the State of California. This section is intended to preserve, protect, and strengthen the English language and not to supersede any of the rights guaranteed the people by this Constitution. What do you think of that?
I think it's great.
But we don't enforce it.
You're right.
Again, here we go.
Well, that's our politicians. That's the ones that are pandering.
Exactly.
They're pandering. And so now not only do we have our ballads in English and Spanish, we have them in Vietnamese. It's insane.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Ed, what's the solution to pandering politicians?
I don't know. We could all write and tell Governor Schwarzenegger to enforce the law.
What about Schwarzenegger's attempt to redistrict California?
Well, that's an interesting thing. I have mixed feelings about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's two sides. I think the politicians have done a bad job.
Terrible.
But he wants to have the politicians appoint the judges, a retired judge, and oversee. Oh, I don't know. That might be the. I don't know.
No.
I'm mixed on that.
I don't think the politicians should select the judges. Look what's happened to our country in the last few weeks. This Terry Schiavo case?
Absolutely.
I think this is the worst stain on our entire country. That we could stand by. Half our country is polarized. Half of the people thought that what was going on was right, that the law was important. But that's wrong.
It is.
Now this girl didn't have to die.
No, that's why I've mixed on the thing. I don't think the judges will do that good a job. So where are you?
They don't.
Back to another.
Okay, I think we all have to die.
That's another thing. Too many of our judges have lifetime jobs. Nobody should have a lifetime job.
Folks, we're going to have to take a break for the top of the hour here, but we sure hope you stay with us. This is the Saturday special. Kay Zwirling. The star of the show today, the world famous, and Michael Olson sitting in for MZ, and you, of course, pick up your phones and join us today. We're at 479-1080 and 477-1340, and we're talking about anything you want to talk about, and love to have you aboard, join us. We're talking immigration and what to do about it, and heck if I know, maybe you know. Give us a ring and let us know. We're at 479-1080. 877-1340. We've got Patricia on the line from Carmel, and we're going to pick her up when we get back. So please do stay tuned. Let's see. You got pick us up there, Michael. Pick us up. We're on the news break here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Place to live. The most beautiful place to live on earth. So beautiful, 8 billion people would rather live here than where they're living. And folks, they're on their way. Well, hello out there. Welcome to the Saturday Special Hour number 2. Michael Olson, emergency studio host, sitting in for Michael Zwirling, who is right there, aren't you, Michael?
I think I'm here, am I?
You are there.
Michael, thanks very much to you and Kay for doing a yeoman's job.
Hey, we had fun. Okay.
Yeah, on the radio station with truly, truly proven the greatest technical difficulties of any radio station on Earth. Your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Thanks for being there. We are going to continue our program now with your help. Thanks. We have a special guest. When I was in my office earlier this week, I received a handwritten letter. I don't get many letters in the snail mail, but this was a letter in the snail mail, and it said, "Dear Mr. Zwirling, I wish to recommend the fine work of Ms. Ling Ling in her efforts to stop illegal immigration. I'm a member of the National Advisory Board. She is located, anyhow, it just so happened that we were going to be doing this program on closing the borders and immigration and the big problem on the next Saturday special, which is today. So I called Ling Ling, who is in Oakland, California. She is the executive director of the Diversity Alliance for a Sustainable America. And I believe Ling Ling is on the line with us. Hello? I guess Ling Ling is not on the line.
Right. Continuing our fine tradition of technical difficulties today.
So I guess what I can do
is have her call in here. I guess Michael's trying to get Ling Ling back, and there he is. Well, Ling Ling is not back, and Michael Zwirling is not back, but hey, Patricia is back, and Patricia is in Carmel, so we're going to pick up Patricia.
Hello.
Patricia, welcome to the Saturday special.
Oh, thank you. Since one of the big deals about we have to leave our borders open is for cheap labor.
Right.
And I'd like to say that our country was founded on cheap labor. It was called slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
The slave owners had complete control over their workers. They did not educate them because they expected each following generation to keep doing the same low jobs. They had no problem with, very little problem with crimes because they would have swift retribution if anybody committed a crime. And the health care was minimal. We have all these people now working for cheap slave labor jobs. People that hire them will not pay for their hospital expenses. The children are not allowed to work, but are insistent they have to go to school and get educated so they can compete for better jobs because nobody's expected to keep doing these low jobs. And the prisons are full of people who have committed crimes. We have gang members and others, the gangs right in the prison themselves. So, therefore, we're subsidizing this cheap labor for the people who hire them, and they're not accountable for it. I think it was Dana Rohrabacher who tried to get them to take care of the...
Oops. We lost Patricia there, but maybe she'll
That's okay.
Call.
We're back.
You're back, yes. So, Patricia was making an interesting comment, MZ, about how this country was formed on or built on cheap labor. And that's where she left off. Did you find your guest?
I think Ling Ling is here. Are you there, Ling Ling? I guess Ling Ling still isn't here.
Well, should we move on with our guests, with our phone guests?
Hold on a sec here.
Okay, we're going to try to get Ling Ling.
Hello, Ling Ling?
Yes.
Okay,
there you are.
Ling Ling.
We have it figured out.
I think so.
Ling Ling,
okay.
We have...
Now, you probably didn't hear my introduction of you, Ling Ling, or
no.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I did a great introduction of you, and you can correct me if I've said anything that's wrong. You are the executive director of the Diversity Alliance for a Sustainable America,
correct.
Which is based in Oakland, California. What does that mean?
Well, that means that our leaders and supporters are racially and politically diverse. And we're working to preserve socially, economically, environmentally, and politically sustainable America. We would like to see, by stabilizing this nation's population, and which requires drastic immigration reduction, both actually legal and illegal.
Now, you're not a racist person, are you?
Well, I am. I was not born here. I'm not white. I actually have done immigration work for immigration law firms for 10 years, helping people immigrate to the U.S. until I realized there are so many issues that concern all of us, legal immigrants and U.S.-born Americans. Those issues cannot possibly be addressed effectively without substantially cutting immigration.
Okay, the reason I asked you that is because that is the cry that usually goes out as soon as anybody talks about closing the borders.
Well, immigration advocates have no good arguments to defend the open border position. Therefore, they have to resort to scarce tactic, to name-calling, to shut up all debates.
Yeah, like racist and so forth. Michael, I don't know, I don't see whether we have callers on the line
that we
to,
do.
To go on with this. It would be great if some of the callers that call this program during the next hour would like to take issue with Ling Ling and her position, which happens to be my position and happens to be my mother's position, and I presume is your position as well.
And I'm not sure what my position is.
Oh, okay.
I think everything should cost what it costs, and I think people should be able to immigrate into the United States, but I think they should do it legally.
Well, actually, of course, illegal immigration has to be curbed substantially, but legal immigration has averaged about 1 million a year. Now, as you know, many schools across the U.S., not just in California, overwhelmed. And one of the main reasons was they have exploding English-deficient student population. And they cut programs because of budget deficits. If we cannot provide quality education to existing legal immigrant children and U.S.-born American children, why should we spend billions of dollars a year educating illegal kids? And how many more legal immigrant children should we invite to this country?
I don't think we're going to get anybody to call to disagree with you about that, Ling Ling, and I hope I'm wrong, because I would like this to be a spicy two-way program that has all sides represented. Should we take some of those callers, Michael?
Let's go ahead. Let's go to Maggie in Salinas. Maggie, welcome to the Saturday Special.
Thank you for taking my call. Ms. Lingley, I agree wholeheartedly with you, and also with all of your other, especially Kate. I have such an admiration for her, and I thank you so much for having your mother on the program.
She's great. She and Michael picked up a disaster and made it great. So.
Well, she's never a disaster, please. I don't think you're referring to her. But anyway, I just want to say that she brought up a good point in reminiscing over how her relatives came to this country and how you have to guarantee their existence here and or subsistence here. Isn't that possible that if the farmers who want these people should guarantee in the same way their employees' homes, their medical bills, their whatever expenses they have, that they should have to guarantee that, just as my son had to do when he wanted a girl to come from Finland. He had to put up a guarantee that he would take care of her, all her medical expenses, whatever, any emergency expenses, and her housing and her food. And that should be their requirement if they want these people. You, as you say, some of them are very skilled and others are not. And so these people, the farmers, will decide whom they want and whom they employ. And then they can pay for these people. And we won't be on our taxes and on telephone bills and all our other utility bills that we have all these taxes to pay for people who can't pay for them.
Doesn't sound like there's any disagreement with Maggie and Salinas.
Yeah. By the way, there was an article in the San Diego Union Tribune that came out a few months ago, which reported that now some American farm owners are mechanizing in order to compete globally, because farm owners in Europe, for instance, they use machines to harvest. And so gradually, I think American workers, farm owners should be doing the same. In order to survive globally, I think it's not fair for them to keep depending on illegal cheap labor and ask Americans to pay for the price.
Ling Ling, with all due respect, I don't think that labor is cheap labor. Again, I think that much of the cost is deferred, but I don't think it's
cheap labor. You're right. That's what I'm saying. It's cheap to the farmers, but it's expensive to American taxpayers.
And furthermore, I know that farmers are doing everything they possibly can to mechanize. I have a friend who is in on the invention of a strawberry picking machine that is able to reduce the amount of labor significantly. And, of course, they're doing everything they can to reduce their costs because it's the only way they can survive in a world marketplace. Maggie, any follow-ups?
I'm going to go off the air, I think, and I do want to say how I am an avid listener of your program.
Was it something I said or did?
No.
Thank you for joining us, Maggie.
Well, thanks, Maggie.
All right.
It's my first.
Let's go to Ann, who's on a cell phone. Ann, thank you for tuning in the Saturday special.
Hi, Michael. You there?
Yes, I'm here. Also, Michael Zwirling is there. Kay Zwirling is there. And Ling Ling, too.
Well, I have a suggestion that France did and would never fly in our country. But part of the problem with immigration is we just have pregnant women walking across the borders in California, Arizona, and Texas, and bearing children who immediately become citizens. And I really think it's come to a point it would never pass. But if you are not a citizen and here legally, that child is a citizen of whatever country you're from.
Oh, you're absolutely right. In order...
And the... I'm sorry, go on.
Go ahead.
Why wouldn't that pass here?
Well, for the same reason why our immigration laws are not enforced, because you have ethnic activists who are extremely active, and they spend much time lobbying our elected officials, and they fight all attempts to enforce immigration laws, to fight any situation that would seriously curb illegal immigration. And
I would just like to add one more thing, that if people in California knew how much money we spent on hospitalization for people who are not here legally, a friend of mine worked for Kaiser, and in Napa, they had to actually raise the emergency fees because of the migrant workers coming in on Saturday and Sunday with their sick children, tying up the emergency room, because they have no medical, they have no insurance, and they're not here legally, and no one asks anything, and they treat them. And I think what would happen if you tried to pass that, the ACLU would step in and just scream bloody murder that we're some kind of racist and how dare we do that. And I'll listen to you on the radio. That's all I'm going to say.
And
you were absolutely right. The caller was right. And not only you have ethnic activists, you have civil rights activists like the ACLU, you have religious lobby, unfortunately, and you also have university lobby, the cheap labor lobby, the whole world on the other side who only care about their own bottom lines and not the well-being and the future of the United States.
Folks, phone numbers today, 831-479-1080, 477-1340. This is the Saturday special with Michael and Kay Zwirling. And Ling Ling and Michael Olson sitting in here as an emergency host at the boards. Give us a ring. We're going to go now to Rod in Santa Cruz. Rod, welcome to the Saturday special.
Hi, how are you folks today?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, good. It's really funny how the issue of immigration always breaks down to what our politicians are doing. and that it, and Kay's right, this is a political issue. Politicians won't take on the immigration issue because they don't want to offend the Mexican-American community, which they both believe are potential voters and will re-elect them into office. I think the best example of political pandering is our national debt of $7 trillion. The reason it's so high is because our politicians want to be everything to everybody and want to give everything to everybody so that people will like them and re-elect them. And I'd really like to see our activist community, both conservative and liberal communities, unite behind a single unifying reform idea, like Kay's idea of one term. You know, if that's not the best idea, maybe there's another one. But unite behind a single unifying reform idea that will allow our representatives to make the tough decisions that will allow our country to work in a more orderly fashion. Because you're right, this is nuts, and it's not going to get any better. But the first step is to reform.
Well, another point that Kay brought up that was pertinent to this, though, is that even though if we were to get politicians to agree on something and pass a law about something, all it would take is one judge to change that.
Well, I think that would be along the lines of reform. I mean, politicians can reform the powers of judges. Our representatives can do that. That is, they can override through constitutional amendments, through, you know, their processes, can override what judges can and cannot do.
Okay, Lingling?
Can I talk?
Well, yes, Kay.
Well, I would like to follow up on what Roger said. And in the debate of immigration, most people limit themselves to the fiscal and economic discussion. And seldom we bring up the political aspect of immigration. And, for instance, many listeners have read that last September, Time magazine had a cover story called Broken Borders. And they estimate that, they're saying that according to very conservative estimates, in 2004 alone, 3 million illegals would have entered the United States. And in recent years, on the average, about 1 million legal immigrants enter the United States a year. So between the two, last year would have at least 4 million foreign-born. And also a Barron's article that came out last December that quoted Bernstein's economist Robert Justice's estimate that now in this country we have 18 to 20 million illegals. And according to studies, more than half of those illegals come from Mexico. Now, we have to look closely at Mexico's real agenda. And many Americans have read that last December, the Mexican government published a guide advising illegals on how to cross the U.S. safely. And back in 2001, the Mexican commissioner for Northern Border Affairs at their time already told illegal Mexicans that if the Border Patrol agent finds you, try again. What is Mexican trying to do?
They're trying to take over the country.
Oh, you are absolutely right.
That's what they're going to be able to do it while we're asleep.
You are absolutely right.
Because they have a lot of children, and they're all going to be able to vote, and they're going to justify it by saying, well, this was our country before, and we're taking it back.
You are right. They actually are saying pretty much that. And back in 1997, the then President of Mexico, Ernesto Zedillo, already said in Chicago, quote, I have proudly affirmed that the Mexican nation extends beyond a territory enclosed by borders. The Mexican migrants are a very important part of it. They are pushing for an amnesty for millions of illegal Mexicans. They are pushing for driver's license institutions at many states and city levels and congressional levels. They also are pushing for the acceptance of Mexican government-issued ID cards.
You're absolutely right. And now isn't it possible that they do want illegals to vote?
Oh yeah, it has happened in a number of cities. In a number of cities have given the permission to illegals to vote.
How does that work, Wing Wing?
In San Francisco.
Yeah, Michael wants to know how that works.
How does it work that an illegal can vote?
Michael, it was happening when Gore wanted to be president, and they had these drive-in votes. They didn't ask whether they were citizens or not. It was so damn crooked, and nobody does anything. You know, in the Mexicans had their
okay, you're doing something.
What?
You're standing up and talking about it.
Who is?
You are.
Oh, well, we better.
And Ling Ling is.
We better do more than talk about it.
No, you are right. You are right. Americans who are concerned about this issue should call President Bush and call the representative in Congress. Because outside, we have strong support, but our supporters are inactive. And the other side, they're extremely vocal and extremely active.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if we... Now, we all know that President Bush have caved in to Mexico's demand.
Yep.
And, you know, he's all support for, he even called his plan amnesty plan. It's a de facto amnesty plan where we'll open up the borders to give unlimited visas to those who are here.
Isn't that disgusting?
Yeah, illegally, and those living abroad, and to low-skilled and professionals as well. And first temporary visas in a few years, they can apply for your citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget the children born here in the United States of legal, illegal guest workers are all U.S. citizens. Give them 18 years, they become American voters.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now, as I said earlier, Barron's reported last December that we had about 18 to 20 million illegals. If you legalize that numbers, a fraction of which become naturalized citizens in a few years, and they become U.S. voters.
Mm-hmm.
So, and our national elections are so close. You could see, you know, immediately Mexico is using migration to control American policy, eventually to take over the United States.
Okay, mm-hmm. Let's see what Bruce has to say.
Remember that Mario Oblado, who used to be the Secretary of Health and Welfare for the state of California? Remember,
correct.
I had him on in 1998?
Correct.
Along with Barbara Koh?
Yeah.
And he basically came right out and said it right then. He said... we're taking over, you guys, whether you like it or not.
That's right.
Well,
he said eventually we're going to take over all the political institutions in California. Close
that's
quote.
Right. And organizations like La Raza have been working diligently for the last 30 years with this particular agenda.
Correct.
I want to ask, what would happen if everyone who was illegal here from Mexico, if our government said, you know what, you're illegal, you got to go back. Make them go back.
Well, as you know, the ethnic activists already threatened many times to boycott. They were saying that they'll probably call for some sort of national mobilization of workers and to quit working. And they were saying that,
know,
if illegals stop working and then our economy will come to a standstill. This is frankly an empty threat, and it's not true. If that happened, we will have the ways to get the economy going. Actually, it would be better in the long run because we're spending tens of billions of dollars a year in providing services to illegals.
Should we go to the phones and see what our listeners have to say? Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Blast away.
You know, as she made that last comment, I thought, if they could only get him to quit working. And we can have other folks, you know, Americans, do those jobs. It would cost more, but we wouldn't have to pay all the money to support the illegal aliens.
You are right. You are absolutely right. You may cost a little bit more in services and products, but you save much, much more in...
It would be a wash.
In
really.
Services.
It would cost about the same.
Immigrant families.
It would cost about the same, but would have our country back.
Bruce,
yes.
Are you going to pick the strawberries? Are you going to wash the dishes? Are you going to... cut the lawns.
I've washed dishes. I cut lawns.
No, he's asked you if you will, not if you have.
Well,
you know, when I was a kid, when I was young, yes, I did. I did do those things.
I did too.
I asked you if you will,
I
not
mean
if you have.
Well, are you going to, Michael?
No, hell no.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hire a 20-year-old kid to do it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Good luck.
Somebody who needs a job instead of the lowlifes that live next door to me.
Yeah, but you see, most of them don't need jobs because they get on welfare.
20-year-olds, most of the 20-year-olds don't need jobs because they are supported by parents and don't think that their children should have to work the way they had to work.
You have to take care of welfare at the same time. But
absolutely, the people who need it.
Why I called was at the beginning of the show, Michael Olson said that it would be political suicide for a politician to vote, you know, to make the tough call on this.
Right.
And, you know, the funny thing is, he's, you know, political suicide, I suppose, but during the campaign, if you asked them if they'd be willing to make a tough vote, they would say yes. Of course I would. Even if you weren't going to be reelected, oh, yes, you know, because they're so upright and, you know, honest and trustworthy. I think that the one-term limit is a real good idea. Recently, the California State Legislature did not pass. This is the sixth time, I think, in 4 years that they turned this down, or the eighth time. You didn't pass legislation that would have required identification at the polls. Now, this identification could have been a license, a military ID, a passport, even a utility bill or a phone bill, and they turned that down. What's the point? Now, the ACLU is saying, well, you may inhibit some older people or some recent immigrants from voting. They could easily find out by a poll, going back and looking at the voting records, and projecting the number of illegal voters that voted, and compare that number to the potential number of people that wouldn't vote. And I think it would vastly outnumber the number of people that would be scared off because they had to have an ID. And older people always have an ID. I mean, they're used to having an ID.
I'm glad that you agree that one-term limits could really be a good answer for us, because suddenly all our politicians are going to stop being politicians and be honest and try to do good for the country and not worry about, am I going to get elected again?
Well, people will say that, you know, that'll just make them, you know, be more corrupt. But the thing is, it might just make them get more corrupt quicker, but they will never attain the level of corruption that they have attained.
I agree with you about term limits, Ma. I think it should be a one-term limit. But I don't agree that they will do good if they don't have to worry about being elected. I think they might not do as much bad.
Mike, why do you think politicians are...
That's a step in the right direction.
Why do you think politicians are politicians?
But I think that the most important thing, though, is for American citizens who are concerned about the well-being of this country to get involved, to get active, and call and write. And because if politicians know that Americans' concern and that the support will dwindle if they're not, you know, doing things that are in response to the will of the majority. And my suspicion is they will. It's like President Bush, right before the September 11 attack, he was willing to cave in to Vincennes Fox's demands. A few days before, Vincennes Fox already said in front of the White House, he said, quote, we can, and he said, we must, and we can achieve a migration agreement before the end of this very year. And he was about to go along. And then CNN came out with a national poll showing the majority of Americans against it. He immediately backtracked. So now it's up to Americans to be vocal, to be active again, and pressure elected officials to do what they want.
Bruce, thank you. Yeah, Bruce, thank you for that call. Let's go to Al. Al, what do you have to say about immigration?
Great show, but, you know, I wanted to tell you one thing. To really see the hypocrisy of the Mexican government, there's an excellent documentary. It's on the Discovery Channel. I think it's a joint Time Discovery production. I think it was called El Norte. But it shows all these Honduran and Guatemalan refugees or illegal immigrants who are hopping on board a train. And the Mexican government doesn't want illegals coming into their country, so they shoot at them. If they're captured, they're immediately taken back and pushed over the border. They actually have a fine if Mexican citizens offer them any food or water. I think it's like a 100 peso fine or something like that. Anyway, and then of course, you know, they want us to treat them with all due respect, you know.
Right.
So it's an excellent one. The other one is, and this brings up a point to me, is the Los Angeles Times has always had excellent articles on illegal immigration. And that's why I get a little irritated, because so many of the right-wingers always bash in the L.A. Times, but...
They come up with something good once in a while, you're saying?
No, they do on a regular basis, and
okay.
Especially with illegal immigration. I think a lot of people bash them without ever reading anything. They just hear what the right-wing pundits say.
Yeah, but Al, you've come a long way over the years, and you're to be condemned. I mean, commended.
I've come a long way?
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what that
means.
You
used to be a lot more liberal than you are now.
No, I'm not. I've always been anti-illegal immigration.
Well,
you might have me mixed up with somebody else.
No. You're downtown Al.
Yeah. No, I just called myself Pinko Al because people wanted to label me as some sort of... And that's the issue that I have a lot of times because I do consider myself liberal about a lot of things. And the problem is people want to pigeonhole people right away instead of getting together on issues because...
Well.
I see illegal immigration as a huge threat to this country. It's democratic culture... And it's its environment.
And you can
political as well.
And you can understand how L.A. is very concerned because they're overrun with them, right?
That's right. We're going to thank you for that call downtown,
hey, Michael,
Al. Yeah.
I wasn't able to hear the first probably half hour of your program with Kay.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe she addressed some questions from Ben and Salinas, who I think is probably the only person in our listening audience who will disagree with what is being said. God help me for this, but should we lift the ban on Ben for him to call now?
Yes,
let's do.
Okay, Ben, go, please call because I understand that that you didn't like something that you heard from Kay, whom you normally respect and hold high regard for. So give us a call, and we'll put you on the air here.
A special treat, right?
Special dispensation.
Yeah.
We're going to lift the ban on Ben.
But until then, let's go to Daniel in Watsonville.
Hey,
Daniel,
Ben,
welcome to the Saturday
listening.
Special.
Oh, he's listening. He always listens.
Can you hear me?
Yes, gotcha, Daniel. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Very good show. Unfortunately, I think one of the big problems is American citizens who are hiring illegal immigrants, like the people down there at the Kmart parking lot, of folks wouldn't hire these people, they wouldn't come up here.
They're not hired, the ones in front of Kmart. I think they're the ones that get in illegally, and they're poor guys. They're just looking for some work.
I don't think you got Daniel on that one. I think what Daniel was saying is that when they come here, we hire them. If we didn't hire them, they wouldn't come here.
Job, Mom. That's what he's talking about. If we wouldn't do that, then.
I mean, I'm a contractor, and I've never hired an illegal alien, and it really irritates me when people do because we're basically slitting our own throats by doing this. Let's hire our own people, and then we wouldn't have this problem.
You're right.
Yeah, as you know, immigration advocates keep, telling Americans that there's no way we can drastically cut illegal immigration. That simply is not true. And, I've been saying that if we enforce our immigration laws, if we pass laws that would deny citizenship for children born here of illegals and make it illegal to grant benefits whatsoever to illegals in the United States, and also if the President of the United States and Congress made it very firm to existing illegals and future illegals that they would never, never be granted amnesty unless they're married to U.S. citizens. How many people could survive economically in the United States, and how many people will want to come?
Mm-hmm.
And if it were really true we can't curb illegal immigration, why are we spending over $200 billion on Iraq? Why did we ask 1,500 or more Americans to die in Iraq? Why did we sacrifice now more than 10,000 Americans were injured in Iraq? And the House of Representatives just passed a bill that will give $81 billion additional funding to Iraq. Why are we doing all this?
And leaving the borders open.
Correct. And so the Bush administration and actually the Democrats, many Democrats, both conservative and liberals, are not serious about protecting Americans' homeland security.
Yep.
And how could we protect our homeland security with porous borders? And therefore, that's why we have many Hispanic legal immigrants and Asian legal immigrants who support us. They know that this issue are affecting all legal immigrants and U.S.-born Americans.
So just getting back to what I said, let's take care of our own folks first, and I think that'll really help go a long ways towards solving our problem. That's all I got to say, and I want to thank
well,
you.
Well, you did a great job of saying it right here on the Saturday special. Let's go quickly to Millie, who's been waiting a long, long time. Millie, are you there?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Saturday special. Go
oh,
ahead.
Oh, hi, Millie.
Hello, both Michaels and Mrs. Whirling.
Hi.
And Ling Ling.
I have a and Ling Ling. Mrs. Whirling, I have a very interesting book. I'm just going to throw out the title for mischief on the air, but if you would like to borrow it, I'll get it to you. It is Paul and the Invention of Christianity. It's written by a noted rabbinical scholar. It's not something that's done off on computer press. And if you're interested, let me know.
Uh-huh.
Please. I hope you're a reader.
Why don't you just, Millie, call the station and give Rosemary the name of the book and
I'll
the author,
it.
And then I can just buy
the
book.
Okay, I'll do it. Now
that you've teased us about
points.
It, why don't you tell us what the book is about real quickly?
It's about, it's how the Apostle Paul literally invented the cult of Christianity. That's what it's about.
Okay.
I'm going to have to get on with this now. I have four quick points. Questions. What's with all the oil profits in Mexico? Why aren't these used to enhance the living standards of the Mexican poor so that they wouldn't be coming here in droves, a literal invasion,
I think,
in order to send money to their poor families? And I'm going to take the answers to this off the air, okay?
But Millie, I think that question hits the whole issue right on the head. And I think that is the one thing that people do not address is
and it's dirty politics.
Yeah, the inherent racism of the Mexican government toward its own people.
That's so. But
we talked about that. They have an agenda. They want to extend the Mexican government to be all California also.
Well, that's a certain group of reconquistas. I don't know if the Mexico wants to. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But let me go on.
Next questions.
It would take a constitutional amendment, this was said, I believe, in order to withdraw citizenship from anyone born in this country.
Well, there are discussions that actually it's not needed. Well, Congress, if they're serious, they should pass the law and then let U.S. Supreme Court decide on constitutionality.
Okay, but it is in the Constitution. Okay. All right, number three. Welfare is granted to illegals only if the person has minor children born here. It's not that easy to walk into welfare and get on. You have to have children, or maybe horribly disabled or something.
Okay,
well, that's no problem. Most of them do.
That's right.
Well,
children
born here.
More importantly, we are spending at least $6,000 per child per year educating children here, including illegal kids. And many of them cost taxpayers $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 a year. So this is, the biggest item of expenditure.
And we don't even give them a chance to learn English because we let them learn in Spanish.
Well, because ethnic activists don't want them to be Americanized.
And, Millie, what would you do about the young women that come over very pregnant, ready to have their babies, and check right into the hospitals in San Diego?
At this point, there's nothing that anyone can do about it if the baby is born in the U.S.
I know. Yeah, we can make new laws saying it doesn't matter
if
the baby's born
here. If Congress does that.
They're actually thinking about doing that. I just heard talk on the radio about it this week.
Well,
it may happen.
The first thing is to prevent them from crossing the border.
You're right.
Millie, thank you so much for the call.
How could it come?
Let's put
some of the troops on the border that are in Iraq, and then, in fact, let's rescue some of those guys.
Well, it doesn't have to be in Iraq. Why don't we take them out of Japan?
Well, we can take them out of Germany, Japan.
Okay, girls, let's move on. Millie, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to West Side Al. West Side Al. Are you going to jump into this one?
Yeah, Mike. Right now I'm doing a major bathroom remodel, and I'm using my stepson because he's a general contractor, and all of his workers are journeymen and master tile layers and all that sort of thing, and they're all legal American people.
So you have nothing to be ashamed of, Al.
Well, I know one thing. It's going to cost me somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 more to do it this way rather than going through the underground and hiring illegal aliens to do the tile work, for example. That is one of the extremely expensive parts of this, and I know from people that I'm acquainted with that have used illegals to do the work that I'm paying a premium just to keep my son and his crew employed, but on the other hand, it's sort of keeping it in the family, so I guess it's not all bad.
But besides that, he can use your bathroom.
Well, sure, anytime he wants, as soon as he gets it finished. Another thing, Mike, this subject of jobs that Americans won't do. Now, I suspect that if the wages being paid for things like dishwashers and hotel maids and car washers and some of the jobs that I used to hold, janitorial jobs, stuff like that when I was in high school, all these entry-level jobs, if the wages were sufficiently high, we would attract some American citizens to do these jobs. It's somewhat of an illusion that our unemployment rate is at 5.2%, so there's probably not enough people to do the work. That's not true. That 5.2% doesn't reflect people who have run out of unemployment benefits.
You're absolutely right.
And aren't looking for jobs anymore. So let's assume that some high school kids would be interested in washing dishes and doing hotel maid work and all these other types of jobs. How much would you have to pay them, and how much would that add on to the overall bill? And wouldn't it be worth it, as one of your previous callers said, when you calculate in the cost of social programs that we sometimes have to offer these folks that work for such low wages that they actually have to be subsidized to exist?
And I think everything should cost what it really costs.
I like that phrase, Michael, and I don't think at the end of the day an extra 50 cents for your bag of produce is going to break anybody, especially if we could see the overall benefits of not having to pay taxes to get all these social programs going.
You're absolutely right.
Not only we don't have to pay more in taxes, we have a better living environment. Because the more people you have, the more housing you need, the more congestion you see.
It's not going to happen as long as the politicians are in charge.
Well, what do you think Susan would do if she were in charge? Susan and Coralitas, go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. You may not be aware of this, but some of the programs that have made Americans kind of angry about the illegal immigrants in recent days are the idea that they should be able to collect Social Security. They work here for about, 16 months or something like that. Then they're eligible, and they can take the money back to their home countries and live there and live off Social Security. Do you remember that?
Yes. Bush was willing
right.
to, you know, give about $350 billion.
Right.
Billion.
Terrible.
Right. And then there's this other thing where they come here and work, and then they send their money out of the country to their home countries, and it's about $90 billion a year.
Yep.
And there was a recent effort to lower the cost of sending money out of the country so these guys could get their money out and not pay so much money. And one of the reasons the Matricula Consular card is being used by the banks, like Wells Fargo and Bank of America, is so that they can open up their accounts here and then just transfer the money in interbank transfers, and that cuts down on the cost of remittances.
Well,
now, these two programs were developed by a conference called the Summit of the Americas. It started in 1994. And part of the Summit of the Americas is to allow migration unlimited in the Western Hemisphere. And through the Summit of the Americas, trade agreements have been initiated and ratified that say we cannot stop people from migrating for purposes of labor into the United States. And that is why we have illegal immigration from Mexico, Central America, and South America.
That's because our politicians do not have our best interests at heart.
No, and you know why they want to allow this unlimited migration.
Is it the business of globalization?
That's exactly right. There is a program called Western Hemispheric Integration that was initiated by the Summit of the Americas. And by the two examples I gave you, and there's many more, the Summit of the Americas has a tremendous influence on our Congress. And with this Western Hemispheric Immigration, you know the Trans-Texas Corridor, the big freeway that they're planning to build in Texas? That's the northern leg of a hemispheric transportation corridor that is being planned and built right now, and our Department of Transportation, federal transportation officials are down in South America working on it. When they get that corridor built, there's going to be no hope of ever stopping illegal immigration.
Yes,
and all of this is coming from the idea that the Western Hemisphere must be integrated, and the Free Trade of the Americas Agreement, when it gets ratified, is going to solidify this hemispheric integration plan.
Oh, and it started with NAFTA and GATT.
It started with NAFTA and GATT and the Summit of the Americas.
And that was Clinton's agenda the minute he got into office.
And Bush, Clinton, Bush.
Yeah, we're going to become, just like my professor at Cabrillo said 30 years ago, before too long, the United States is going to become a third world country.
We're very close to that when you look at our highways and how poorly they're maintained. And then you go and notice that our Department of Transportation is building highways in Brazil right now, but they're not building highways in America. We're having Sintra, a Mexican organization, come in and build the Trans-Texas Corridor.
And our politicians have allowed this to happen.
Right. So if you want to stop illegal immigration, you have to get on the trade issues and the Summit of the Americas. And let me, I want to leave you with
undo NAFTA and GATT.
That's right. And not ratify the FTAA or the CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, that's actually being debated by Congress right now. Because when that is ratified, then El Salvador will be granted the same migration privileges that Mexico has with us. And we know about the MS-13 in El Salvador.
Hey, Susan, are our politicians idiots or are they evil?
They're evil.
Well, you can call them evil or greedy or
greedy.
But they're not stupid.
They know exactly what they're doing, right?
They do. And what they do is they're using positions in the federal government as a stepping stone in their career path to be international bureaucrats.
I see.
And if you look at how many, like Paul Wolfowitz, Ann Veneman, who was the Secretary of Agriculture, she now works for the United Nations, Paul Wolfowitz, World Bank. Every single one of them is using their position in the federal government to step up into international government or international bureaucracy. So all what they do when they get in these positions is they cater to the international interests and not the American interests, because they're using it as a stepping stone in their political careers.
Right.
There you go. Susan, you're a rock and roller.
I have really quick things to add. In Canada, the Canadians know about this integration plan, and they are really hammering Paul Martin about it. And they are concerned about integrating with the United States because they will lose their sovereignty. But in the FTAA, in the Summit of Americas that happened in 1994, let me read you this quote from Mr. Salazar Zurinkas, who's the Minister of Foreign Trade in Costa Rica. The FTAA is not just one more initiative among the 23 initiatives launched in the Summit of the Americas. It is the pillar, the foundation of the grand project of hemispheric integration contained in the summit vision. So if that FTAA gets passed, then there absolutely is no more border. There is no more United States.
And there
you go.
We're
only a member state with 34 other countries, many of whom are communist and totalitarian governments, and they will have an equal vote, and they outnumber us, actually.
It's happening before our very eyes.
That's right. They are hiding.
And they're outsourcing our so much of our everything, and we have built up the sleeping giant, China. And the time is going to come when we're going to be confronted by China.
Yeah. Ling, do you have a website?
Report, China is becoming a world economic power.
You bet.
And that's what I'm saying. Why are we continuing to allow tens of thousands of Chinese to immigrate in the United States? China is experiencing exponential economic growth.
Yep.
Well, we are. United States is the greatest debtor nation on earth.
Yep.
We have the highest trade deficits. We have the highest budget deficits. Why don't we do this?
Because our politicians are letting it happen.
Correct.
And
Both parties.
And they're entrenched in their offices too long.
Ling, do you have a website?
Correct. Yes. It's www.diversityalliance.org.
DiversityAlliance.org.
DiversityAlliance, all in one word, .org.
Okay, folks.
We must read article. I published recently a scholarly article entitled Mexican Immigration and the Political Future of the United States. Please take a look, and the political future of the United States is at stake.
Well, here to lend a little fuel to the fire, we have the world-famous Ben from Salinas.
All right. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, Ben. Yeah, you heard my mother earlier. I've heard everything. And first of all, Michael, I don't agree with your ban, but I thank you for the dispensation, and I will try to concisely address issues that I think relevant. Great. First of all, the enemy on our doorstep is China. We should dispel NAFTA and GATT. However, it's not going to be done.
The issue that is being clouded is the trillions and trillions being squandered on the slaughtering and the war and the carnage going on in Iraq. However, I do not advocate anything illegal. However, making war on mothers, having babies, sick children showing up in hospital, what kind of a cowardly nation are we becoming? If an American kid shows up in Guadalajara, Mexico, sick, should they throw him out because of our racist policies here? And when I hear someone like Ling Ling the Panda saying we, it makes my skin crawl. But if she's legal, she's legal. But she does not speak. First of all, 35 million in California people, 17 million are Hispanics like me. We're born here. We're as American as your so-called apple pie. Now, we are here. We pay taxes. And we're
wait a minute. Wait a minute. There are at least 2 million illegals here. And if you look at the Barron's report that came out last December, and
I don't care if there's 20
experts,
million.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. According to experts, they're saying that now our underground economy is approaching $1 trillion.
That's
this
peanuts.
This is largely
that's
due
peanuts.
To low-skilled illegal immigrants.
That's peanuts.
Obviously,
the
most of them
the
paying little to
drugs.
Taxes.
One at a time,
the
please.
The underground that illegal immigrants paying
the black
enough
market
taxes
drug
to offset
trafficking.
The cost
ben,
of
the
Ben,
black market.
One at a time, please.
The black market in drugs alone is more than that, but you won't address that because it goes to the right people, billionaires' pockets. This racism at the border, how come these so-called vigilantes are not addressing the illegal war in Iraq and the illegal voting machines for which people should go to
well,
prison?
Well, we, the Diversity Alliance, we don't support any
don't say we.
Immigration
Please
policy.
Don't say we. You
we
turn
want
my
immigration
stomach.
To be cut across the board. As I said earlier, I'm of Chinese descent. I was saying on the air, hear me well. I said on the air, I said China is doing extremely well economically. Why do we continue to allow tens of thousands of Chinese to enter the U.S. states, to immigrate to the United States? So you, I mean, liberals should be ashamed that they are in bed with the cheap labor lobby to open up the borders, to promote mass immigration, to exploit American workers, to lower our wages, and to crowd our schools, and American children are falling behind compared to many children in Europe and many children in Asia. This is the fact. Liberals, in particularly, should not be in bed with the people who are trying to destroy this country, to exploit immigrants and minorities.
That's what, that's what liberals are. They're trying to destroy this country.
And as I said
you're
earlier,
right,
I have to be fair. Some
they're either mentally ill or they're evil.
John, if you want the last word in Salinas, jump in.
Hello?
Jump in really quick.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If we don't stop illegal immigration at this point, the sons of Mexicans and Mexican-Americans and illegals will be deprived as well of opportunities. So, you know, we have to deal with what we have right now, and we have to stop it so that everyone can thrive and our rights will be protected.
Oh, the caller is absolutely right. We, at the Diversity Alliance, we conducted a poll of California voters on immigration in 2001. The majority of Hispanic voters also were opposed driver's license institutions to illegals. So is that racist? So I think it's actually racist to want to promote certain kind of immigration. We want immigration to be cut across the board. As I said, I'm racially Chinese. I want to repeat, I don't think we should continue to allow large numbers of Chinese to enter the United States. Actually, there are many Chinese who are doing well, who are well-educated, have voluntarily returned to China, Hong Kong, Taiwan to make money. They're saying there are far more opportunities in those countries than the United States.
And
but
Z,
they are leaving their children and elderly parents for Ling American
Ling.
Taxpayer support.
Ling Ling.
This is not right.
Ling Ling.
We got to go.
Michael, close the show. You got
okay.
A couple
thanks
seconds.
Everybody,
left.
Thanks to Kay and Michael in particular. Thanks to Ling Ling.
Thanks.
We got to have you back on for several times, actually. I guess that's it. This program, the good part of it, will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight
or on
demand at KSCO.com or SaturdaySpecial.com. See you next week.
Thank you all.
Bye.
That's all, folks. Goff will plead guilty this Wednesday to the series of bombings in the 1990s that